Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. It's my great joy, a delight to be able to welcome this week a special guest. We haven't had anybody in studio for a while, and today we have my daughter, Rachel, my youngest, who's with us, and she's part of Renewal Ministries, our outreach here in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and she'll share a little bit about what she's doing with Renewal Ministries. But welcome, Rach.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, before we jump into the topics, say a little bit about what you're doing and, you know, the outreach you're involved in and what God's doing through you guys.
Yeah, so I work for Renewal Ministries and working with ID, which stands for both Identity and Intentional Disciples. And we are the young adult outreach of Renewal Ministries, basically. So we work with post-college young adults, early 20s and 30s, to really form them into intentional disciples. But the way that we do that is pretty specific because that's a pretty broad mission, forming young adults into intentional disciples. So essentially, we partner with groups of young adults on the ground, whether it's 5 young adults or 20 young adults or 50 young adults, to really help form them into a community on mission, you know, because we really believe that if we can form people who are spirit-filled leaders in a place, then those spirit-filled leaders can lead a larger group of disciples into really being a family together in the context of a parish or the context of a city, to really begin to not just like check off the box and go to Catholic events, but really live a life together that is intentionally on mission to really be disciples in their city. And so the goal is not just to make individual disciples, but to do really discipleship multiplication through the building of communities on mission.
Yeah, it's a good idea. I mean, one of the things clearly in the culture that's needed is community, community family. And the church is meant to be a family of families, a network of committed relationships. Mm-hmm. They really make a difference in people's lives. Not everybody experiences it that way, though.
Yeah, and I think with my generation, there's such an interesting shift as well in the culture. But then I think we also see it with many things. We see it kind of trickling into the context of a faith life or the context of that generation, even the people who are serious about their faith. And so in America, especially, you have an extremely individualized culture. Even within the context of nuclear families, where as before it was totally normal for people, you know, like in Italy, to live with their families until they got married at 30, until, you know, for the grandparents to live together, for the family to really stay together and be kind of the source of life. And now, especially in America, the source of life is your job, your hobbies. You know, so people are moving kind of all over away from their families. A lot of people will see their families maybe only on Christmas or something, and then they have maybe some friends and maybe some events that they regularly go to, but most young adults live alone. They sometimes get together with their coworkers. They have good relationships, but in terms of like the depth of their life, of living with other people, that exists very strongly also in the Catholic culture too, not just the kind of broader culture of America. So it's like you have this individualized American culture that has kind of bled into the life of even serious Catholics. You know, it's very rare, unless you're a missionary or part of a particular community, to really be experiencing a full, joyous, challenging life together as a body of people, just as a normal lawyer or a normal doctor or a, you know, or an administrative assistant or whatever you do for work. It's like somehow that reality exists for other people, whether they're nuns or priests or missionaries, and kind of like the young Catholic life is just, well, we'll just check the box and kind of go for my personal holiness, but it's still pretty individualized. So that's kind of like what we're trying to battle and come at with the context of community.
No, that's very good. Recently was listening to an audio book, The Life of Desi Arnaz, and he was I Love Lucy fame. He was the one who married Lucy, and he was the producer of all that. But the reason I'm bringing it up is he lived in Santiago, Cuba, before they were driven out by the Marxists. And he described their family life, and he said every Sunday, every single Sunday, they would have as many as 40 to 50 relatives, extended family, layers of extended family, to come together for a meal every single Sunday. It was the habit of the family. Mm-hmm. So you were part of, you know, everybody had a Catholic identity there, and not everybody was living it perfectly or anything like that, but it did have those layers of consistent family, consistent just support, extended family, multi-age-wise, you know what I mean, mm-hmm. from the young great-grandkids all the way up, and they all saw each other. And that provided a sense of identity. He talked about it that way. I mean, mm-hmm. he wasn't looking at it like from a distinctively Christian point of view. He just said, this is what happened. You find identity, you find support, you find love, you find happiness. We sang all the time. We did, you know, we had great meals, and it was so memorable to mm-hmm. always do something like that. Well, as complex as society is today, we're atomized, right? It's very hard to have that. And the Christian community is meant to be a family. So mm-hmm. I know that, you know, you're introducing to everybody what you've been doing, you know, ID, the identity mm-hmm. piece, and intentional discipleship. It's very interesting how intimately these things mm-hmm. go together.
Right, yeah.
And the whole focus of what you guys have been doing to try to reach the 20s and 30s is to help them say, okay, what fundamental, everybody's in an identity search in that demographic, mm-hmm. right? Everybody's defining who they are, and mm-hmm. but Christ gives us an identity. Mm-hmm. So this week we wanted to talk, and I'm very excited to talk about certain themes that you've talked about, did videos on, mm-hmm. and other things that you think have been very helpful and effective in speaking to the generation.
Sure.
It really applies to everybody, mm-hmm. but you're trying to drill down and speak to folks that age. So moms and dads who are listening, or grandmas and grandpas who might be tuning in, or young adults who are tuning into the program, mm-hmm. there's something here for all of us this week. So what topic would you like to start with today?
Well, I think what you're saying about identity and then family really connects to one another. Even that example you gave of growing up in the Cuban family, like there's something about being in a strong nuclear family that, like you're saying, gives you your identity because you know what it means to be a member of that family. There's certain things that it means to be a Herbeck, and that's part of my identity as I've grown up. That also exists for the family of God. And I think what happens so often and what we're trying to combat and form our people into is really a kind of like a reformation, because at this point, everybody starting at a very small age, because of how strong the culture is being formed some way, you know, so it's not even formation anymore. It's like deformation from whatever the previous formation was, you know. Hopefully it would be from a strong family into Christian formation, but because the culture is so opposite, and we're working through our other ministries with Pine Hills Camp and Beloved Revolution with 12-year-olds, 13-year-olds who are totally deformed into the culture. And it's like a reforming of the mind with the Christian story from beginning to end. And that starts with the family and who am I in the family of God. And I think, like you said, this applies to everybody, because oftentimes we want to run past this topic because we feel it's so foundational. So we could be in, you know, the Christian journey, the journey with the Lord for 20 years and still be in this place, because this is the most fundamental thing to receive every single day. Who am I? And who am I in the context of the family of God? I mean, St. Francis, I'm sure if you guys have listened to this show, you've heard all the time, St. Francis used to ask God what every day, who are you and who am I? You know, these are the two foundational questions. I was reading a book recently from a spiritual writer from the early 1700s, and she said the most fundamental question of the journey of faith is just a constant battle of really actually trying to live as a dependent child in the Father's house. Really, that's really so much of what it boils down to. And so this is where we start with our young adults that we work with, both in our On the Ground formation series, and then also we have a formation series called the Spirit-Filled Leader Intensive that, if you're interested in any of the topics we're talking about today, you can hop on to spiritfilledleadership.com and see when that might be coming up again online. But identity is the first topic we start with.
It's interesting to think about how I just heard 3 weeks ago Surgeon General in the United States said that there is a national mental health crisis among young people. Mm-hmm. That's the result not only of the troubled times we're living in, obviously that's part of it, but in the political and disruption and COVID and all the rest. But it's also the result of the destabilized families, deconstructed families, and no place of security, and the intense responsibility young people, because of entering into and living in the media world so much, you know, the social media world and the rest of it, stepping into that feeling, this burden of having to essentially come up with my own identity mm-hmm. and design myself, mm-hmm. this burden of self-creation, when reality at its core is receiving that. Mm-hmm. Now, you responded to this only if this will help you, Rach, in terms of the thought process that you're going through here is, when we were in Jacksonville, you and I doing a parish mission, working with a team, and you did a wonderful little thought experiment with the young girls about TikTok. And it kind of got to, I thought it was a really effective way to get to the point, I think, that you're just making, correct?
Yeah.
Why don't you share that?
Yeah. And so I think the kind of the overarching umbrella of this too is really like living in a generation and now following generations that have really lost the story of God, even followers of Jesus to some extent. It's like, oh yes, I'm following Jesus, but subliminally, what's carrying us in terms of what we spend our time doing, what we care about, what we're invested in, is really not the things that are God's things, you know? And so what I decided to do is I'm doing a little group with some college girls. So I started to see some things kind of emerging in their discussions about social media and even my own use in like Instagram and stuff like that, which I've since gotten off of all social media and kind of become the person that is now an extremist of being like, this is bad for the human soul. But that's another topic. But I was like, I'm speaking to these high schoolers in Jacksonville. I'm going to download TikTok and I'm going to go on it for 5 minutes a day. So for 5 days, so I'm going to be on it for a total of 25 minutes. I only made it through maybe 2 or 3 days because TikTok, if you're listening and you don't know, it's basically just videos, like 30-second videos that come up. There's no parental controls. There's no filtering. And so it's basically just like short videos that people made. Within 10 minutes of watching TikTok, these videos, people were telling me through these videos, talking about sexuality, say talking about losing their virginity, talking about how much money you should have, videos of young girls going on overnight trips with their boyfriends, videos of what outfits you should buy, what was in style, what music was good. It was all just like, this is within 10 minutes. And what I was trying to get at with the girls by presenting this to them is saying, look, you are submerging yourself into a place that's telling you a story about who you are. And so you're spending hours on this app. And you really, you genuinely do want to follow Jesus, but then you're spending hours on this app being submerged.
Like what kind of hours did they say?
This is, these girls, I don't know how many these girls said, but I've read statistics saying that the average Gen Z spends close to 8 or 9 hours a day on their smartphone and 7-ish hours on TikTok. In terms of younger generations, I think even as a millennial, it's hard to understand how much these kind of apps like are their world. Like they're escaping into this world, and the reality that they're receiving are these things that, oh, maybe I should be questioning my sexuality. Maybe I should have lost my virginity by now. Maybe I do need more money. Maybe I'm so sad that I don't have a boyfriend to take me on nice trips, and oh, I need to buy these clothes because this is what everyone looks like. I need to wear this outfit. And then it's extremely difficult to then get off that and try to go follow Jesus because you're not living in his story, you know? So like there's so many things that we're deformed by continuously. And so even if we're not on TikTok, for example, and so to be able to wake up every day and actually stake yourself in the word of God saying, I have been purchased by the blood of Jesus. And so that means by baptism, I am an adopted child of God. That means I'm in the family of God. Now, what does that mean for my life today? And that's really and I have to actually intentionally fight to live in that story and to receive that reality because of the ways that we're deformed both from the culture and by sin, that doesn't happen to us naturally.
Yeah, no, it's very good. And I think, you know, the larger reality that I know you've spoken about yourself, I mentioned on the program over the years a little bit, is that, you know, we no longer live in Christendom. We no longer live in a culture with a distinct, clear way of life that people are just absorbing. It's the air they breathe, that they walk in. And so it's now the opposite of that. Archbishop Gomez to the bishops' conference this year, Pope Benedict XVI, and so we're an anti-Christian creed has emerged that's formed an anti-Christian culture, and it's leading us, and it's kind of the air we breathe. It's everywhere. And so it's very hard to critique your own culture on a daily basis, but to become a disciple is to be in the world but not of the world, to consciously understand what it means to lose your life and to belong to another. Friends, I hope you can join Rachel and I again tomorrow. God bless you. Have a good day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much-needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.